Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 113. Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on?
I was going to say, heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Doing good.
Doing good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
to hear that. Mm-hmm. Sean, you doing all right?
I'm doing okay.
Good. Doing all right. Just okay?
Okay. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic over
okay.
here.
Okay. Okay. I got you.
Okay. All right.
Calm down. I'm doing...
I'm great.
I think I'm doing okay.
I'll do like the House Hunters. Great. That's great. Everything's great.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Good. I'm glad. That's a good job. No, wait, that's not. Yeah. Hold on. I'm confused. Is today Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Today is Wednesday.
That would be correct.
We recorded last Sunday. Then before that was Saturday. Now we're doing, okay, it's Wednesday. I just want to make sure.
Correct, sir.
I am correct. Okay.
It's a revolving door of recording days.
Never know.
We were just together not that long ago.
I know.
Yeah. A few days.
Seemed just like 3 days ago. It was 3 days ago.
Were you guys able to purify yourself from me and my presence? Probably not.
Is this
time.
Too soon?
Purifying is a heavy word.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
A
yeah.
Exercise.
No, I'm glad that we can get back to it.
Yeah.
So maybe someday we could just...
Absolutely.
It'll be, if the day ends in Y, we'll record.
Right. Ooh.
That's right.
How about that?
I was just talking, you know...
What was that, like once or twice a week?
That's right.
He's so smart.
Good. And I hope the creepies are doing well. I hope they're doing good. Mm-hmm. This is... 113. So excited to be in front of the mics, and you know what time it is, right?
Right. It's that about that time.
Dad joke time.
Oh,
thank
the Lord.
thank the Lord. All right. I liked the riddle last time. Mm-hmm. I like doing the riddle. Just change it up a little bit. So, right. And I'm not done with the dad jokes, but you know, these are kind of like dad riddles.
So this is a riddle in itself.
That's right. Right. Hold on.
Isn't life a riddle?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not done with the jokes, but I'm not going to do any jokes right now.
Wrapped in an enigma.
What am I doing if I'm not doing a dad joke? Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here we go. Are you ready, creepies? Are you ready, Sean and Nate?
I'm ready.
The riddle of the show. How do you spell cowl? Cow, right? Cow.
Cow.
In 13 letters.
A lot of O's.
Cow in 13 letters.
I see where you're going with that. I like that's how do you spell cow in 13 letters?
Spell a cow. You might have me stumped on that.
Any idea?
You said there's no way we're getting this one.
Mm-mm.
I had never heard this one, and I would have. Yeah, you could give me a turn.
Probably super simple, and I'm probably making it too hard.
Okay, creepies, here we go. If you want to keep trying to figure it out, so pause it. Cow in 13 letters is C S E E O. Oh, double D O U B L E N U. Y O U. Double U. See? C.
That's
O.
Double U. Actually, I would have never thought of that.
13 letters. There you go. That's how you spell cow.
I was trying to make that way too complicated.
Somebody out there is going, hold on, what?
Wait, what?
C O double U. The four words. Yeah. Add up to 13 letters. So there you go. That's the dad joke riddle of the show.
I don't get it.
See, Nate, you take
it. Let's try it one more time. Write this out.
That's right. So there you go. Yeah. I would have never gotten that. I'd still be going to home.
No, I know.
So I like that. Pretty clever.
Mm-hmm.
These people, I tell you, they're clever and they're diabolical at the same time. So coming off of that,
yes.
Sean, First announcements.
First part of the announcements. We say this every time. We're going to keep saying it every time. We're here for the paranormal. We're here for the spooky, scary, creepy stuff. Guy time. We love it all. But we are most importantly here to create a community and a mental health awareness community at that. So if you are in any kind of issue in your life where you need help, call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or other types of crisis. I always
all you have to say is any crisis. Type of crisis.
Croissant. Right?
I don't know. Read it the way
why do I make it harder?
I don't know.
I do it every time.
Last time you did it, you said any type of crisis.
Any type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text home to 741-741. Deduct more zeros, I know. You keep adding them to him, deduct them
just,
from me.
Just say croissant.
Croissant. If you think you need professional counseling, please don't be afraid to do so. Also, it may take a few times to find the right counselor that is a good fit for you and your needs. Visit stopbowling.gov to help you or someone you know you may be experiencing some sort or who may be experiencing some sort of bullying. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, or message us as well for added support. That is what our Mako family is there for.
Amen.
Right? Seriously.
Wonderful.
And hopefully the weather is helping people since
yes.
Staying lighter.
Getting better, yep. Lighter, longer, yeah.
Be outside.
Other than it's been a little chilly these 3 days this week.
Today was nice.
Yeah, it did warm up decently.
I heard it was the coldest start of May in 100 years or something like that. As we were like, we were at a practice and a game last night, and it was cold. Yeah, right? Something like it.
Well, see, Elijah has a soccer game Saturday at 1 o'clock, and it's supposed to be 72.
It's going
to
be really nice. I think 80 on Sunday, maybe a little bit of rain.
It doesn't mean it's going to rain everywhere. Nope. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, right. Or all the time.
Check your local listings.
That's right. Nathan, don't go by what we say.
Yeah. So hopefully the creepers are doing well. Mm-hmm. And get the help you need if you need it. And if not, just do a little maintenance.
Any type of crisis.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Like, I'm practicing.
This guy, I tell you.
Like I haven't had enough practice already.
I don't know what happens to him. He's fine 1 week and then off his rocker the next.
We're gonna have to practice. We're gonna have to do a dry run with him. Any type of crisis. Say it, crisis.
I'm still looking for just the right counselor.
It's all right. Yeah. trust me. I'm glad I've got one. Excellent job as always. In a roundabout, halfway decent way.
I'll halfway take that.
Okay. So thank you, Sean. Shout outs. First of all, do you guys have any shout outs to give? No?
No.
I want to give a couple shout-outs. Maybe four.
Okay. Maybe a couple. That's
How about that? Reason. Look at this. That's our podcast. Oh, isn't that interesting? I've got it right. I so happen to have it right here. No. We're up to 63 ratings.
Oh, nice.
Remember I posted that.
Yeah.
Trying to get some more reviews. Mm-hmm. We had four of them in the last 2 days. And I thought I would read them. This one from, now this is a name, Zombies Rise and Eat.
Oh,
that's
yes, they do.
It's our kind of people.
5 stars. I love this show. It's like hanging out with good friends and talking about some weird things you can only talk about with buddies. Stay creepy, my friends. Keep them coming, Todd, Nate, and Sean. I'll keep listening. We are thankful that you will be. Mm-hmm. This one is by Tia Michi. Tia Michi. I don't know. This podcast is absolutely awesome. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you for that. I know this name, Christy, 1961. Mm-hmm. Best creepy show ever. I have been listening to the show for a few years now and absolutely love it. I consider myself a fellow creepy now and love how inclusive the guys are and how they stand up for bullying and harassment and keep it real. This is my favorite part of the review. The dad jokes are hilarious. I have had the honor of being a guest a few times and really feel part of the Mako family. That would be our friend, Christine Collier.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Christine.
And then this one was from KKViv918. Caption is, loving this. These are all 5 stars. Very interesting subjects with just everyday fellas talking everyday fellows talking, not experts, so it doesn't feel like you are being talked down to.
Wait, what?
Unless you're shorter than us. We will talk.
That's right. it's hard to do with me.
You said it.
Hold on. I've gotten used to it.
I Okay. I find myself talking back to them quite frequently. They don't have to talk back
to us. Yeah, because we're usually wrong or can't think of the right word.
You morons!
It's not it.
Just edit, for God's sakes.
Right.
It's Harrison Ford.
Yeah, right. I find myself talking back. Let me start again. I find myself talking back to them quite frequently, like I am also part of the conversation. Oh, okay. So glad to be a part of this family. Also love how they support mental wellness and positive thinking. I love that.
All those are fantastic.
Very nice reviews. So thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks to our wives. they had to be forced to.
Hey, no way you just do that.
Yeah. That is very nice.
You don't even have to come to the computer. I'll just type it out for you.
I know. Yeah. So anyway, I love the zombies rise and eat.
That's fantastic, actually.
Anyway, shout outs to them. That's very appreciative. Then we have some announcements. Again, we're going to remind you that coming up, we will be a part of the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show. It is on Saturday, May 20th from 6 to 10. It will be at the Boone County Jail Distillery in Lebanon, Indiana. Tickets can be purchased for only $25 at the Eventbrite website or the app, along with the Tragedy of Cinema podcast. They will be there. So, come out and see Us, Tragedy, and Hillbilly Horror Stories, hosted by our good friends Jerry and Tracy Pauly. So it's going to be fun. And then, that's 2 weeks from this coming Saturday, right?
That's correct, yeah.
That is correct. And then the last announcement, again, we are doing our Keeping It Creepy 2023 live show that we are excited about, our first live show, actually. It's going to be on Saturday, October 7th from 5 to 9. This will be at the Ellis Park train station in Danville, Indiana. And tickets can be purchased for only $15, also at the Eventbrite website or app. Fiction and paranormal author and publisher, Micah Campbell. He is the owner of Anatolian Press. He will be there. And then our good friend, Erin Ignatz, paranormal investigator of Hauntings Across America. She will also be a special guest. They've been on our show a couple of times, so great people. I know they'll have fun, creepy stories to tell. And, of course, we'll have great food, music, merch for sale, giveaways. So come out and be creeped out with your boys.
Did you say they binged on our show?
They binged on our show.
I know a lot of people that binge on the show.
Did I say binge? I meant
binge. No, you said binge. You said it correctly.
Well, maybe they do binge. I don't know.
I make stuff up over here.
Yeah.
I mean, not very often.
Let's see. What's today? We're recording the 3rd. So as of what? Sunday, it'll be 5 months away for our first live show. That's exciting.
That's wild,
isn't
it?
There you go.
I'm very, very excited.
That's very, very cool.
So, there you go. I am done with the special announcements, air quotes. Sean, why don't you tell our creepies what we're going to talk about?
Time for just the special?
I already did the dad joke.
Oh, that's
the
riddle. Right.
This is just the filler.
Are you saying it's all downhill from here?
This is just a filler. That and that's a wrap. I don't know about the middle-aged dark something, whatever.
How did you know?
Ooh.
Spoiler alert. We are going to cover a topic that was my idea, but this could have been anybody's idea because this is a good one, right?
But we'll give you credit.
Give me credit, right?
More credit. You said it first, right?
Do. It is the practice or rite of exorcism. There shouldn't be the wrong of exorcism, though, if we call it the rite.
I guess either do it right or you do it wrong.
Right, exactly, right.
And if you do it wrong, uh-oh.
No, I guess it's...
Better run for the hills.
That's right.
It should be the right, right?
Right.
Get it right.
Correct. Oh, hold on.
So, exorcism in the Catholic Church, just to set a little bit of foundation. There's so much on this topic, by the way. I mean, I've listened to so many videos and there's a ton here. So this should be a really good discussion. But just as a basic foundation, exorcism in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church authorizes the use of exorcism for those who are believed to be the victims of demonic possession. In Roman Catholicism, exorcism is a sacramental, but not a sacrament, unlike baptism or confession. Unlike a sacrament, exorcism's integrity and efficacy do not depend on the rigid use of an unchanging formula or on the ordered sequence of prescribed actions. Its efficacy depends on two elements: authorization from valid and licit church authorities and faith of the exorcist. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states, when the church asks publicly and authoritatively, I knew this was going to be hard for me to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, that a person or object be protected against the power of the evil one and withdrawn from his dominion, it is called exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Good job. You better know what you're doing, and you better know what you're getting into.
Right?
You watch the videos, you hear the stories, you watch documentaries. No thanks. you know?
Yeah. Well, be very strong in your spiritual endeavor.
You know what they say, like, whether you're a, if you're a trained and whatever, I don't want to say licensed, but if you're, you know, you are, what would they call it? What are they, like, if you're not, you know, like, certified, but, you know,
I'm trying to say. I was going to say certified. there's only some, I think they said
qualified.
Well, yeah, but there's, like, they say you are, I mean, that's basically all those
you
are.
You say ordained, I guess.
Ordained, yeah.
To do this. There's only, like, 150. You know, that have been able to have the ability to do this. The interesting thing is that it is rare. It is not something that you see a lot, or at least we don't get to see it very often. And it's certainly not normally the Hollywood version. And it is not something that we get to see on video very often. Now, they do have them out there. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the UFO and alien discussion lately. In the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, it is becoming something a little bit more of a happening, you know, mm-hmm. or if you want to call it that.
That's right. There has been
an
upswing of it.
Yeah.
That's fair to say that.
What I was saying was, like, if you're an ordained exorcist, you're a demonologist or whatever, mm-hmm. and you think you're trained and you got, you know, this and that, you know, you better, like I said, you better know what you're getting yourself into. You better be prepared for anything and everything, because it's not going to be fun if it is truly a demonic situation. And what I've seen and them talking about it, like Nate just said, you better have serious faith, because you can use
it's going to be tried.
You can use any holy water or crucifix. You can have a statue of Jesus, two of them in your hand, you know, but those don't do it. That's not, you know, it's what's inside you and what you believe that truly, it's not the object, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Because they'll just laugh it off and
it's like, definitely going to attack your beliefs.
Yeah.
It's going to work you.
Because you can use rosary, but you can have every symbol of, you know, to use in the exorcism, but those aren't going to do it if you're, you know what I mean? If you're not truly believing.
There's no power in those if your belief is weak.
Correct. Exactly.
And that's, it truly comes down to what you believe.
Like I said, you better be serious about it.
They say almost the first thing, and it really throws a lot of priests the first time that they do it or that they're seeing this, as they're being trained, and it is, I'm sure it's unnerving, but the first thing that a lot of the demons will say is, who do you think you are? You have no power over me.
Right.
I've been here much longer than you. I'm never leaving. And they set these falsehoods up right away just to get you to give up and to say, oh, you're right. I don't have enough faith. I'm in over my head. See you later. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what they try. They try trickery. And they also talked about how many times that, like, this one priest was talking about how he has encountered Satan 3 different times over his years in exorcisms. And he said, of course, he's the father of lies. And he said, even when it benefits, you know, for him to lie, to make something sound better, he'll still go to lying. So he's like, in these exorcisms, these demonic forces, and he said, especially Lucifer, they lie. They're just constantly lying. But he said, and even, like I said, it's just the weirdest thing is, like, that's their go-to. Is to profess lies.
Yeah.
And one of the encounters, he said, is your name Lucifer? And he said, that's what I used to be referred to as. Like, he's not allowed to be called that because he's not the bringer of light anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I used to be known as. So it's like, we're dealing with Satan here, you know? So I thought that was interesting.
Well, remember, Lucifer is his name. Satan is, so like, okay, there's Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the Christ. Lucifer, that's his name. Like Jesus, that's his name.
That was his name as an
he
angel.
He is
right?
The Satan. It's not Satan isn't his name. He wasn't he wasn't created to be Satan. His name was Lucifer. So it's
his moniker or whatever.
Yeah, it's like his title or what. Yeah, or you know what I mean? Yeah, so I don't think a lot of people, I didn't know that actually until not too long ago. I don't know. Win, but yeah, so
you're not going to get a lot of straight answers though, when you know,
no,
I mean?
Like, and you don't ever know. Maybe you're talking to one demon, maybe you're talking to 100. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they change. And the other thing I think is, which is creepy is and scary, and of course, it was in the movie The Exorcist when they just start throwing out insults and they just vile and vulgar, you know, the cursing and the nasty stuff. It's like,
yeah, they're just trying to beat you down.
They're just trying to, throw you off. They're just trying to distract you with all that nasty talk, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh.
I thought the interesting thing is that these demons sometimes can have been with people for a long time.
Sure.
And some of these exorcisms can be, you know, one session. Sometimes they're days, sometimes they're weeks, sometimes they're months, sometimes they're years that they work on these exercising these demons. And sometimes there's multiple demons in people. That to me is like terrifying.
Do you remember MR, when we had MR Gorga?
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
When he was talking about, like, if you're really a true man of person of faith, and you literally are believing in Jesus and you're doing it, you know, with everything you've got, it shouldn't take more than that one time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that's
I get so confused because that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then I think, well, because you hear, yeah, sometimes it takes, yeah, months, years, or, you know, mm-hmm. and then MR, which is doesn't, I would say it makes sense, should only really take one time. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? If you're using it, you know, going into it for the right reasons.
Well, wasn't it?
With the right faith, the right power in Jesus. That's that name alone, if you're serious about it,
yeah,
should drive them out. Not like, oh, okay, got to do it. Keep doing it again. Well, no, they should get it the first time.
It happened with,
I don't know.
Bobby Mackey's.
That's a good point.
Caretaker.
Gosh darn.
Yeah, those are on video too. Those are on YouTube.
Carl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like,
he had to be exercised twice, wasn't it?
Yeah, two or three times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But okay.
I think it's a lot to do with that character too. It's like, okay, yeah, they accept Jesus and get rid of the demon, but then fall right back into their old ways and open the door again.
That person who's possessed, yeah.
Well, so now thinking about that, it kind of makes sense where some, it might take, two or three times, or it might 6 months, because maybe the exorcist isn't, not saying he's not doing it right or she's not doing it right or whatever, but we're the right, but it's maybe if you do it one time, you drive them out and nothing ever, you don't have to come back. Maybe you are so full of faith and experienced, you drove them out. It only took you one time, but maybe somebody is new, or maybe they have faith, but the demon just isn't quite.
Still has a hold, even though you sort of drive them out a little bit.
So, I can see both. You know.
But I see what Nate's saying too, though, that there's certain things that are triggers for, you know, demon possession. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's drugs, sometimes it's sex, sometimes it's, you know, all these things that you're opening up. Yeah. You know, influence or people. There are people that can basically lead you to this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. witchcraft and the occult. You know, they say if you tie yourself into all that stuff, it just opens you up, you know, to this kind of stuff. So it is, you're right. Like if you got to, you know, if you're going to be cleansed, you got to clean mm-hmm. your life up too.
Yeah.
You know,
walk the walk.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So. There's demons of, I mean, they say there's even demons of gossip. There's a demon of, mm-hmm. you know, adultery, demon of pornography and alcohol, mm-hmm. drugs, all that different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why so much over the years, you know, it's been, you know, that's what it's hard to dissect from mental illness. And they say that, like, before an exorcism happens, the priest will do, like, you know, they want to make sure it's not something that it's truly a demon possession and that they can categorize it as such before they actually perform an exorcism, mm-hmm. because they want to make sure that the person is being, you know, everything else is excluded before they determine it's demon possession. But a lot of the priests that were talked about it said it's clear when it's a demon, though. Like they can figure that out pretty quickly.
That would be another thing that would be a little stressful or whatever, because to make sure, okay, are we really dealing with a demonic possession mm-hmm. instead of mental illness, just a nervous breakdown, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, attention, just even somebody faking it just to get attention mm-hmm. and trying to.
Right.
Because there's plenty of stories about that.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, they're changing their voice or they're doing whatever.
Spitting just some pea soup. No.
Oh, that's real.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. And the head spinning back or around. That's real.
That's real stuff. real Hollywood.
Yeah. I mean, you better make sure you check all the boxes. Like, okay, we've done they've gone to a mental health doctor. They've gone to a physical doctor. We've ruled out all these different illnesses or what could have caused them to be acting like this. And
right.
Cause then if it comes down to, well, exorcism is the last thing, man, that could be scary.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting
for both. I think for the person doing it, but the person that's supposedly possessed.
I think the interesting thing is how much, you know, obviously Hollywood has played with this for a while, you know.
Yeah. And
they push it to the extreme. But I heard several of the interviews of the priests that I was listening to that have done this and been part of this, said that sometimes it's not too far off. Like they do contort, and there are pictures of people that have been possessed. Their face changes dramatically. You know, they do contort themselves and they are doing, you know, they scream, like you said,
their voices change
and change. And it's, you know, they speak in other languages. That's the other thing is like, where, you know, and then how would they have been able to do that or fake that? You know, that's the kind of thing, like this person had no idea what, you know, these, some of these ancient languages are, you know?
Well, and they also say that, a lot of times the demons will, they know a lot about the person, a lot about the exorcist or whoever, and they'll, and it's like, wait a minute, they, an everyday average person
wouldn't know
your mom's name and your dad's name and all the different things that they can get under your skin.
So we meet again, Frank.
It's like, hey, wait a minute.
I haven't seen you since you were a teenager. Oh.
It's Father Frank.
Oh,
a lot has changed, right? Yeah.
My bad. Father Frank, then. Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, okay, that's not, yeah, they shouldn't have that personal information. Mm-hmm. But they use it against, like, oh, you're, you know, saw you were drinking the other, you know, they say all these things that's like, oh, man, you know, to throw you off your game. That's what they do.
It says, the Catholic Church revised the rite of exorcism in January of 1999. Though the traditional rite of exorcism in Latin is allowed as an option. The ritual assumes that possessed persons retain their free will, though the demon may hold control over the physical body and involves prayers, blessings, and invocations with the use of the document of exorcisms and certain supplications. Solemn exercises, according to the canon law of the church, can be exercised only by an ordained priest, so ordained, or highly prelate, with the express permission of the local bishop and only after a careful medical examination to exclude possibility of mental illness. The Catholic Encyclopedia from 1908 enjoined superstition ought not be confounded with religion, however much their history may be interwoven, nor magic, however white it may be, with a legitimate religious rite. Things listed in the Roman ritual as being indicators of possible demonic possession include speaking foreign or ancient languages of which the possessed has no prior knowledge, supernatural abilities and strength, knowledge or like things being thrown across the room, or, you know, the way they can move is like beyond what the normal human can do. Knowledge or of hidden or remote things, which the possessed has no way of knowing. We were just talking about that. An aversion to anything holy and profuse blasphemy and or sacrilege.
Correct.
They say the first guidelines were officially, because this is what I was looking for, the exact year. The first official guidelines of exorcism were established in...
Let me guess.
Guess.
Mm, I was going to say... Okay. I was going to say early, or I'm sorry, I was going to say like mid to late 1800s, but I'm thinking
1600s.
1614. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure what to guess. I was going to guess like the Middle Ages kind of thing. Yeah. So it's, I mean, which still,
yeah,
you know, yeah, 1614.
That was even before, that's 76 years before the Salem witch trials. I mean, that, because I always think, I'm always like, I don't know, that's just how I do certain things, like, so I'm like, oh wow, 1690, that was the Salem witch trials, and I'm like, wow, that's, so you're saying 1614, that's a long time ago. Wow, so that was the first time it, the, you said, what was it again,
the first official guidelines for exorcism were established.
Gotcha.
Whereas grimoires were widely known and used since the ancient period.
Oh, grimoires
are,
yeah,
yeah, so that's kind of cool, which are basically ancient, you know,
scrolls
or, yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, there was a podcast. Gosh, I bet 3 years ago, at least 3 or 4 years ago, it was a woman doing it. It was really good. She was from Oklahoma, and her podcast name was something Grimoires, and it was so good. But that was the first time I ever heard that term, Grimoires. So that's the only reason I remember saying that. It was so. But she didn't do anymore. Interesting though. 1614.
They do a lot of the talk too. I had seen where they say every Christian has the ability and the power to command demons out and drive them out in the name of Christ.
Yeah.
But these, the exorcists used by the order of the Saint Benedict's formula, which is basically, I'm not going to say it in Latin, but it's step back Satan. Around this time, the prayer inscribed by Saint Benedict was a sacrament. By the late 1960s, Roman Catholic exorcisms were seldom performed in the United States. So it says by the 1970s, popular film and literature revived the interest in the ritual, with thousands claiming demonic possession.
Step back, Satan. Backup, son?
Well,
is
it's...
That is that what you're saying?
It's Vade Retro Santana is what it... It sounds a lot cooler in Latin, doesn't it?
You're about to get a fresh one.
Vade Retro Santana. That sounds like...
Santana.
Santana, right.
He's a good guitarist.
It's a rocking good time. No.
We're about to throw hands here.
Black magic woman.
But this is saying that basically with all the Hollywood revitalization, that's when thousands started claiming demonic possession, so...
That, step back.
Definitely got to screen those guys, right?
Yeah, anything in Latin sounds a lot cooler than, you know.
If you guys are interested.
No, we don't care.
No, you don't care. No. Okay.
So, what I was saying. No, what you got?
I have, I looked up like real exorcisms. So I have a list of 12 real life ones. Mm-hmm. If you want me to like say one every so often. And they're just little paragraphs of information.
I have a few myself.
Not necessarily that we have to go straight through the list one after the other, but you know, hit one and talk a little bit, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead and read one. Then
okay.
In 1778, the exorcism of George Lukens. In 1978, English tailor George Lukens was behaving oddly, speaking in strange voices, making inhuman noises, and singing hymns backwards.
That's wild.
In a ceremony held in Bristol's Temple Church, seven priests commanded the demons who'd apparently taken over Lukens' soul to leave once and for all. When the ceremony was over, Lukens recited the Lord's Prayer and thanked the priests. This was one of the few recorded exorcisms with a happy ending.
Mm. It's good. It's real good. Got to have a happy ending.
That's right.
Yeah. Actually, you hope. Right? You hope. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'd hate to pull the family aside. Yeah, there's not much I can do with this one. I'm sorry.
I tried my best.
I mean, I bat 90%, but, you know. Not 100.
Nobody
sorry.
Bats 1,000 in this world.
Yep. Yeah.
Except for JC, right?
That's right. The whole... Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the movie 100 times on this podcast. If it goes down like that, that's not good.
No.
I mean, so we've talked about like Hollywood really making it extreme, and then we're like, well, it's kind of sometimes
if
it's like that.
If that's like a bad one.
Yeah, it's like, yikes.
I think it gets me, I mean, besides the head spinning and all the pea soup and the contorted face, but when they do that whole like, awkward looking, like extended back bend. That,
oh
like,
yeah.
Looks impossible. They showed in like
rigid
some of the Hollywood magic that they do that where they just have a gymnast that can bend back bend like that, and they just have her basically on a rope, and then they get rid of the rope, but they make it look like they're just contorting over the bed and elevated. Mm-hmm. That to me is like the freakiest when they can show that. But I mean,
I see that, I just hear. Pop.
Right?
Pop,
yeah,
pop.
Right. Oh, my back feels great. Yeah. That's like a chiropractor right there.
You don't need an exorcist. You need a chiropractor.
You got one.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? So he's got the bag, you know, like the exorcist does. And he's steering, looking up at the window.
The wings would get in the way.
I'm going to have you the contort in ways you didn't think you could. How you feel? Oh, much better. Thank you. You know?
See you next month. Look, no.
Yeah. We'll get you on a plant. Yeah. Dr. Jackson. I bet he.
Oh, no. He's like, no.
Leave me out of it. Right? That's funny. Yeah. I think, like I said, I don't know. Have you guys seen The Rite?
I have not.
I do not believe I have. I want to, though.
With, almost said Dennis Hopper, with, what's his name from Silence of the Lambs, Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
You guys haven't seen it. Excellent movie. Amy and I saw it when, I don't know, shortly after it came out. Excellent movie, and it looks pretty realistic. Mm-hmm. And it is based off a true story.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins, he is the veteran priest, experienced in all of that, and then he's training a younger one, and it's pretty intense. But it's nothing was ever silly in it. Nothing was too, you know, but it scared the crap out of me. So I'm like, wow. Yeah, so that's a good movie I would recommend, other than, like I said, I'll never watch The Exorcist again, most likely. But The Rite.
You could do it.
You can do it.
You could do it.
I mean, they're remaking it, right? For Halloween.
It touches some young feelings.
I will not.
Aren't they remaking it for Halloween? Isn't that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not.
Jerry's excited about that.
The only. I know that's his favorite. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to Jerry about this. I don't want to see the old one because it does. It scared me at age 9 and then 29. And then, so I haven't seen it in 23 years. The new one, I would like to, just because I want to see what they're going to do with it compared to the original. Mm-hmm. But then again, I don't want to see it. I don't know.
Guess what, he palms. I don't know if I can do this.
I'm going to have Nate with me. So
you can take your Wooby.
My Wooby, I had a Binky.
Binky.
Anyway, The Right is a great movie and pretty good, intense. And then also, I would say, I heard.
Is it the new one you're talking about?
The
Pope's Exorcist with Russell Crowe.
I've heard about that one. Mm. The other one I was thinking about, that one they said it's actually more.
It's like based on actual events.
Kind of ticked off about it.
Yeah, and it's not getting reviewed very well either. I noticed that.
And they said that's on purpose, mm-hmm, from mainstream media, and because they don't
like anything that not has trying to get religious implications,
politics, and all that. But one's getting the better of the two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull up. What is the name of the, not the Pope's Exorcist, but the other one is the one that I want to see. That's the one I'm talking about. It's getting screwed on purpose. They're purposely trying to rate it poorly and not giving it a mm-hmm public pub. Oh, man, what is that one?
You want me to read another story?
Yes, please. While I walk. Nate, give me a favor. I'm struggling tonight.
Fantastic time.
My middle-aged memory.
I like it.
1842, and I'm going to have trouble with this word, Gottlieben Dietes.
Ooh.
In 1842, German villagers noticed strange going on at the home of a 28-year-old woman named Gottlieben Dietes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. But
I don't know, Sean, but I think I'm phonetically
trying to get through this.
I think it sounds good. Gottlieben, that rolls off the tongue.
Dietes claimed her house.
That's a good way to go.
Was haunted and soon began slipping in and out of what others described as trance-like states. But it was only when a religious pastor commenced an exorcism that things went truly nuts. Dietes became violent, requiring physical restraints for 2 torturous years, during which the pastor performed various exorcism rites. Dietes vomited glass, nails, and blood.
Whoa.
Of course, finally, Dietes informed everyone the demons were gone and stated that Jesus is victor.
Demons be gone. Man, nails?
That's crazy. And that 2 years sounds like a long time.
Mm-hmm. That is a long time. Years is a long time.
That's a lot
for anything,
of torment.
Basically, you know?
Yeah.
Coughing up.
I mean, if I have a cold
glass
for 2 weeks, that's torture. You know what I mean? I can't. You know, you got to cough for 2 weeks, but man, 2 years of possession. Yeah.
That's rough. Not good.
Nefarious is the movie.
Nefarious. Okay.
And I have seen, and I've posted some videos about it on TikTok, and that is where I think he's a serial killer, and he's supposed to be possessed. Mm-hmm. And his psychologist, they kind of go back and forth. It's so good. But because it kind of spills out a lot about politics and mm-hmm stuff, that's why they're wanting to keep that one suppressed versus the other one. I'm like, you guys are pathetic.
Hmm.
I'm going to go see Nefarious.
But just go see it.
That's right.
If you're into those things, go see it. Yeah. Who cares what the reviews say?
Yeah. Over the years, though, I've seen movies that have gotten completely like kicked to the curb, and it's like, this is pretty good, you know. So
you know how it is, like comics, comedy movies, and stuff like that. You know, they're not going to review well with critics.
No, they want
something with substance and meaning and great acting. It's like, yeah, but a lot of people just want to laugh.
Yeah,
and it doesn't make it a bad movie.
It stands the test of time, though. You know what I mean? Over time, you find out whether it's
but even
it's
those,
really good
they're
or not
doing it just because they don't take comedy serious, or they don't take superhero movies. Yeah. Or this one is being like this is on purpose. They're pumping one up versus the other one because of the, I don't like that. But you're right though. Yeah, good comedy. It's just want to laugh. It's, you don't want to take.
Yeah, we know it's stupid.
For an hour. Yeah. Will Ferrell's in it. I'm in. Okay.
We need a best picture someday. Yeah. That's a really great comedy.
Yeah. Those,
or horror.
Story.
Horror.
Yeah.
Best picture horror. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Halloween.
Ooh. After all these years, it's been screwed over.
Had me at Halloween. They say exorcists handle four types of demonic possession. Mm-hmm. They are demonic possession. It says a demon using someone's body or someone else's body as their own. This is rare. Demonic infestation. The presence of evil in a location such as a haunted house or an object such as a voodoo doll or Ouija board. Mm-hmm. The third one is demonic vexation. That is the physical attacks on a person's body, such as cuts, bite marks, or bruises. And then the last one is demonic obsession. Demonic attacks on someone's mind. This can be the devil trying to get inside someone's head, so everything they are thinking or experiencing is being filtered through the presence of the demonic. So there you go. I had not heard of vexation. I had never heard that one, but now it makes sense. But yeah, there you go. That's the four types of possessions.
So. Wow.
The process of exorcism. Mm-hmm. So in the process of exorcism, the person possessed may be restrained. We've been talking about that. So that they do not harm themselves or any other person present. 2 years sounds crazy, though. I mean, that's amazingly crazy. The exorcist then prays and commands for the demons to retreat. The Catholic priest recites certain prayers, which I thought was interesting, too. I delved into kind of the protocol they go through. The Lord's Prayer, Hail Mary, and the Athanasian Creed. I'm not sure what that is. Exorcists use a cross and holy water and follow procedures listed in the Roman ritual of the exorcism revised by the Vatican in 99. Seasoned exorcists use the ritual Romanum as a starting point, not always following the prescribed formula exactly. This is kind of interesting how it's also shifted over the years too. Official practice of exorcism is governed by the Vatican document De Exorcisms et Sublime Cone Bluis Blue Damn.
Perfect.
I am not doing the Latin tonight, right?
Nate, remind me not to have Sean recite the Latin language.
No disrespect, I just can't do it. The Vatican offers a course on exorcism. This is where it's interesting. Which in 2019, for the first time, it was opened to members of other Christian denominations. The course is called Exorcisms and Prayer of Liberation and is offered by
101.
Sacerdos Institute at the Regina Apostolorum Pontifical Athenaeum, the Gale Encyclopedia of the Unusual and Explained described that an exorcism was a confrontation and not simply a prayer. And once it has begun, it has to finish no matter how long it takes. Can you imagine that? Gosh. Like this is an endurance game, right? If the exorcist stops the rite, then the demon will pursue him, which is why the process being finished is so essential. After the exorcism has been finished, the person possessed feels a kind of release of guilt, feels reborn, and freed of sin. Not all exorcisms are successful the first time. It could take days, weeks, or even months and years, constant prayer and exorcisms, which is just, like I said, wild in the past. I do think it's a beautiful thing. That's what I've heard. You know, it's like a... kind of got like going through a dark story. You know, you start with all this horrible, horrible stuff. This demonic possession is just a horrible thing they've had to deal with, that they're dealing with during the rites and rituals. But then when it's all done, whenever that is, it's tranquility, peace. You know, they are freed. They are,
I hope so.
Right. Yeah. But what a wonderful thing, like that you just had the weight of all of, you know, darkness and armies of darkness, and then you're free. You know what I mean? And to me, that is a beautiful thing. Like,
who wants to go through that to feel that?
Yeah.
No one. Absolutely. Quite honestly,
yeah. Hey, you know, I want to get possessed so I can feel.
Yeah. I want this to be fun. No.
I know absolutely what you're saying.
It's also like the beauty of Jesus and the love of God and the beauty of, you know, the promises that were promised through that name.
Sure.
Is pretty cool, I think, honestly. So.
Yeah. Man, oh my gosh. Just think about it. If you were a priest or whatever, ordained to do these exorcisms, and you had to do it for that long of time, because like I said, it's an endurance, and they want to wear you down. Like the demons are like, well, we could do this for we're good, we could do this for as long as it needs, you know. Man, that would suck. That would just drain you physically and mentally, emotionally. It would test your faith, you know. And then you're like, I cannot fail this person. I can't, or you know, we can't, if it's, you know, multiple priests are doing it, whatever. Like you'd have to go, okay, I tag in, tag out, you know, kind of like tag team wrestling. It's like your turn.
Yeah,
I need to rest, you know. So yeah, that is. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It would be after it's all done, and if it took, then
it's like a beautiful end to a movie, like a movie that you just
what a victory, what a triumph,
took you on an emotional roller coaster, and then at the end it's like, oh, that's such a release. You know, I bet it's a beautiful thing to behold too. But in Germany, this is interesting. Following the 1976 death of Annalise,
have you heard that story?
Michael, as a result of exorcism, yeah, I had, for which two priests were convicted of negligent homicide, German bishops banned exorcism.
Yeah, that is a. Have you heard that one? Nate?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I've heard two or three podcast stories on it, and it's so Annalise. Yeah. I think it was Annalise Michelle. I think that's how you
Michelle. Yeah. I just said Annalise Michelle. I was trying not to butcher that like I did the Latin.
I think you said Michael. But that's
all right. Did I say Michael? I might have. Ooh, Michelle. I'm sorry.
That's right. No, that is a sad story, because it's debated whether they were just, that the priests were doing it for, I'm going to use the word nefarious reasons, you know, and literally like torturing her and putting her through that where she wasn't possessed. And then some people are like, no, she was possessed and they're just doing their job. And it's like, they don't know exactly what was going on there, but regardless, she starved and she died, and she was only like 20 something. She was young. I mean, she was, that's a sad story. That's a heartbreak. And they show pictures of her before, and then after, and she, I mean, my gosh, she was skin and bones. And she was a pretty girl, she, you know, healthy, and then, oh, gosh, it's terrible.
The there's
23 years old.
23.
Succumbed to starvation.
Yep.
It's awful.
And they're like, you know.
Two of her priests were convicted of homicide.
Pretty much starving her to death, too.
And it's Exorcism of Annalise Michelle.
Yeah.
It's also is the basis of a 2005 horror film, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen that one?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either, and I've been wanting to see
all these exorcism movies, but I just haven't sat down and watched any.
There's a ton.
Yeah.
there's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I heard that one's really good. So
the that we were talking about, the Pope's Exorcist, it is inspired by one of the most well-known chief exorcists in the Vatican, is Father Gabriel Amorth. He was an exorcist for the Vatican from 1986 until he died in 2016 at the age of 91. Mm. So he had described his experiences, and that's what's been, you know, transposed into this, the Russell Crowe movie.
Yeah. With, Annalise, it says the German woman's demonic possession was actually an undiagnosed brain disorder, possibly epilepsy, schizophrenia, or both. But being a religious young woman, Annalise welcomed exorcism to help cure her. Yeah. After 67 attempts, each unsurprisingly unsuccessful, she succumbed to starvation.
Yeah. They have audio tapes. Have you heard those?
Mm-hmm.
So Google, and I would suggest our creepies do that. Google Annalise Michelle audio tapes of the exorcism and the sounds she's making. Like, she's literally, it's growl. Like, I was scared. And I'm listening to this at work during the day, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I can do it. It's so intense and scary, and she's growling and talking like she would be in a movie. You know, when they make the, like, I'm like, what is going on here? So I don't know. I don't know. Some of it was, you know, maybe she did have mental
schizophrenia.
I don't know. It's scary. Hmm. But regardless, it's pretty intense, so... Look up those audio tapes.
You guys heard anything about Rolando?
I've heard that guy. You know who that is? That's the Exorcist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. Yeah.
1949.
Yep, that's the basis from the movie.
13-year-old boy. In the records of this case, his name was changed to Rolando to protect his privacy. Was mourning the loss of a beloved aunt when he began seeing and hearing strange things. As the possession worsened, Roland began demonstrating violent superhuman strength. His parents took him to St. Louis in 1949 for a weeks-long exorcism, now known as the St. Louis Exorcism. Mm-hmm. This is the story on which The Exorcist is based. Roland screamed, cursed, and attacked his exorcist until a miracle, according to The Exorcist, finally led Roland out of his trance-like state. The boy simply stated, "He's gone."
That's cool.
And that's why I don't do school. What were we talking about?
Field trips.
Field trips.
Field trips.
See, I don't. I think
I'll. So, is that other people's kids stuff?
I commend you, Sean, for.
I'm going on a field trip tomorrow, right? Yeah, and that'll have already happened by the time this.
I'm taking holy water and a baseball bat if I win.
Jenna was going to go. She also is like you. It's hard because she just is like, oh my gosh, our kids are hard enough. Other people's kids can be quite the challenge. No. And it'll be fine. We'll be out in nature.
Are you going to study the rite of exorcism?
I'll bring my crucifix. Yeah. I am taking a bag. I'm taking like a little camping bag, just keep stuff in. So I will have my exorcism stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And you know, he just passed not too long ago. The guy that was, AKA Roland Doe.
Yeah. The inspiration.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. Hmm.
I still think the name is hilarious. Roland Doe. Roland in the Doe.
Roland in the Doe. Here is a little information. Exorcists see the occult as entry points for the devil's influence. So they say popular culture offers...
You don't say.
I don't say. I mean, I do say.
Wait, he didn't.
Right? Pop culture offers a lot of entry points to the occult. Lampert said the devil can work on people's imagination through things like literature, TV shows, the entertainment industry, haunted houses. No, wait a
minute.
Social
media.
Hey, now.
Who doesn't like a good haunted house? Spells and magic. That's true.
I think a lot of that is you go into those things or watch those things or whatnot, and you begin to believe it.
Yes.
Instead of it being entertainment and just having fun.
Yeah, right. It's kind of like video games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to blame the video game on. No, well, I mean, I could play a video game of shooting zombies in the head, mm-hmm. or a military type, and I'm not going to go around.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out and do it.
But it does say Lambert isn't suggesting that people stop consuming, entertainment involving the devil and the occult. He just said things can help people. I'm sorry. He said such things can help people cultivate a relationship with evil if people don't understand the consequences. Exactly. Kind of like what we're saying.
Yeah.
Like, you got to know what,
You got to know that it's fake.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's that your body is designed to not really, it really doesn't know the difference between, physically anyway, it doesn't know the difference between real and fake. It really has to do with the power of your mind.
Yeah.
I was telling that with the kids, we were talking about watching horror movies, and I'm like, I like a good scary movie, but it is something that takes sometimes a couple of days. If it's really powerful, it takes a minute to kind of get yourself, I'd call it exercise from your mind, because it does. It plays that trick on you, like, oh my gosh, what if that really happened? Or it just kind of freaks you out, causes anxiety, causes fear, whatever. And then you have to kind of like get it out of your system.
If I flip this light on, Candyman's going to be right behind me.
Still haunts you after all these years.
Still haunted by that. Woo!
Do you guys like that movie? Did you like that back in 1990 or 91?
It was okay. I mean,
I didn't like it.
It's not my favorite.
Yeah, I don't think in a whole that it was a great movie, but just
it
the
left
concept
an, it left
of the
an
movie
imprint on you.
Imprinted on me.
Right,
I think the character is cool.
Yeah.
Actual Candyman. I didn't like the movie, the story. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. Amy, we always talk about that. Like that reminds her of her childhood. Mm-hmm. I think she would have been 12 or 13, and I'm older. I was 19 or 20.
Creep me out.
I was dating a girl at one time, and she's like, "Hey, let's rent Candyman." Rent, and I'm like, "Sure." Oh my gosh!
From a movie store?
Yeah, I know. A real. it was a tape and everything. Yeah, no, seriously. And it's like, we watched it, and I'm like,
"You thought it was gonna be Sammy Davis Jr., didn't
this
you?"
The Candyman. Look, man. Look, babe. No, but I hated it. I didn't like it. But I think he. Didn't they redo it? Didn't
yes.
they redo it?
And I haven't watched the renewed one.
Maybe it's been. I just did not like
Dave.
Yeah.
This is
bust,
funny, but there's actually an interview out there of Dave Chappelle talking about this. And I thought at first it was kind of like a goof, but he swears. Or no, it was Eddie Murphy. I'm sorry, not Dave Chappelle. Eddie Murphy talking about how he sat down with Sammy Davis Jr. And he said, he's an interesting cat, but he sat there and started talking about how he was like basically worshiped the devil and how the devil's great. And
Sammy Davis,
Sammy Davis Jr. Now I have nothing against Sammy Davis Jr. I don't know how true this is, but Eddie Murphy, and look, we ought to go look that up. But
I love
it
Sammy
is,
Davis,
but I thought it was kind of a goof, but it's like, I think Eddie Murphy's being dead serious about that. But he talked about like met him and he's like, you know, this is Sammy Davis Jr. This is like famous comic and
yeah, he's
actor
like
and singer. And he's like, but he started talking about like the devil in this like great light. And he's like, and Eddie Murphy said it creeped him out. And he kind of was like, let's change the subject. You know, like he thought he was joking too. Cause like, okay, I'm a comic. He's joking with him. He's like, I don't think Sammy was joking.
Oh, wow. Well, look that up.
So yeah, we need, go, don't,
okay,
don't
Google that creepy.
Take
Sammy
that,
Google it.
Take that as
Eddie
you
Murphy.
Will. I'm not, that is not gospel truth necessarily, but I
that's
do know,
creepy, though.
I was thinking it was Dave Chappelle, but then as I'm sitting there telling him, I was like, nope, it was Eddie Murphy, but it isn't, it was an interview out there. And I just remember that.
Oh,
I was thinking about that
boy.
With Sammy Davis. Cause I love the Rat Pack. Love him.
Yeah, you too.
And Sammy Davis Jr. is one of them. And I'd love him too. But I just thought, I always thought that it kind of creeped me out from then after I heard that, but.
I like Billy Crystal's impersonation when he was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, absolutely.
Look, man. Look, baby.
It's wonderful. It's fantastic.
He looked just had the hair, all the rings and
it's
the gold.
Fantastic.
Look, babe.
There's only been one, right?
I really want to read this next story because there's a chef's knife, so it's reminding me of Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. And the guy's first name is Michael. So 1974, Michael Taylor. When Englishman Michael Taylor, a husband and father of five, met 21-year-old pastor Marie Robinson, his frequent bouts of depression seemed to ease. In part, Taylor believed it was due to Robinson's ability to exorcise demons plaguing him. After Taylor's wife confronted Taylor about a possible affair with Robinson, he physically attacked her. This led to an accidental exorcism by two ministers that took place on October 5th, 1974. Michael had seizures, spit at and bit the exorcist, and screamed in tongues. The next day, he brutally murdered his wife. He wasn't convicted, however, because of the defense's argument that the exorcisms had made him insane.
Oh. Wow. Do you have Little Caesars?
Mm-hmm. Caesar salad?
Side of breadsticks?
Pizza, pizza. Wow, that's creepy. And his name was Michael. Wow.
I've had...
I'm pouring my little Dr. Pepper here, and I was like, uh-oh.
We heard. It's a whole, like... You have a ritual going on over there.
That's right.
It's a ritual and right. I actually educated a few people about the Caesar salad thing that we talked about. I remember that it was like Italian chef in Tijuana, wasn't it? Tijuana, Mexico.
Yeah.
I love that little piece of information. Like, hey, did you know?
Did they believe you?
Yeah.
You're making that
no,
up.
No. They thought that was fantastic. And I was like,
well, they should. I mean,
they know it came from the podcast. So how could it be anything
we
but the truth?
We here at Mako will not steer
it's
you
all
on.
Truth.
That's right.
That I've done.
Sound like you're telling a joke. Did it change?
Right. Rim shot.
Yeah. I have an exorcism story.
I want to hear it.
Let's hear it.
The Exorcism of Gina, 1991.
Not Jenna.
Yep.
No, not Jenna.
Oddly enough, I was looking at the same one.
Were you?
So have at it.
Okay, here we go. The Exorcism of Gina on April 4th, 1991, an estimated 29 million people tuned into ABC's popular news show 2020. I used to love 2020. Mm-hmm. To watch the exorcism of a 16-year-old identified only as Gina. A pair of Catholic priests presided over the ritual, which took place at a Florida convent and allegedly lasted for 6 hours. The footage was edited to fit the show's time slot. One priest was referred to simply as Father A. The other was Reverend James J. Labar, who had appeared on the controversial 1988 Geraldo Rivera special, Devil Worship, Exposing Satan's Underground, and authored a 1989 book called Cults, Sex, and that's S-E-C-T-S, Sex. And the New Age. Labar has supposedly conducted a 6-month investigation and determined that Gina, who had been hospitalized for psychotic episodes in the past, was possessed. It was one of the most watched episodes in the show's history. It wasn't exactly The Exorcist, although Labar later claimed that Gina might have levitated to the ceiling if she hadn't been tied down, but what unfolded was certainly disturbing. Gina growled, thrashed against her restraints, cursed the priest, and spoke in tongues. Father A. and Labar determined she was being tormented by not one demonic force, but several. By the end of the ordeal, two of the entities, Zion and Minga, had supposedly been cast out, and Gina seemed to feel better. She was soon rehospitalized and treated with antipsychotic medications rather than holy water. The following year, Labar was appointed chief exorcist of the Archdiocese of New York.
Nice.
I do not remember this at all.
I don't either.
I, for some reason, I want to say
and I probably watched
vague,
it. I don't remember though.
Vague remembrance of it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember it.
I think it's amazing how many, and I don't think this encompasses all of them, but there's a. We talked about how many movies involve exorcisms or the subject of it. Obviously, The Exorcist, Exorcist 2, Exorcist 3, Amityville 2, The Possession, Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes, Possessed, Exorcist the Beginning, Dominion prequel to The Exorcist, The Rite, like we talked about, Deliver Us, Amityville Exorcism, The Devil and the Father Amorth, The Pope's Exorcist, which is brand new, and The Exorcist Believer.
Mm.
So, and that's coming in October. That's the one coming out, the re-remake.
This one is like an exorcism gone wrong.
Oh, gosh.
20.
Now, hold on. Wait a minute. You've got Girls Gone Wild. Now you've got exorcisms.
Exorcisms
gone
wrong.
Wild.
Yeah, gone wrong, wild and wrong.
This 2003.
Oh, okay.
Terrence Cottrell. Mm. In 2003, an autistic 8-year-old boy named Terrence Cottrell was killed during a prayer service that was intended to drive out the evil spirit supposedly causing his condition. The official cause of death is mechanical asphyxiation due to external chest compression, CNN reported, meaning Terrence was suffocated. The Reverend Ray Humphill, who had performed the exorcism, reportedly sat on the child on the boy's chest until he stopped breathing. The Reverend was convicted of homicide. I don't think he knew what he was doing.
No,
I don't think so.
No, you know what? I think I'm just going to sit on
that.
Not
a chance.
I'm a kid. That'll do it.
Until he stops breathing.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sad story. Oh, man. That's crazy. I also heard, I'm not sure who said this. This is a while back on one of the 4,000 podcasts I listened to. There was a priest, a Roman Catholic priest, that said, yes, exorcisms and possessions are real. It's a real practice because obviously, you know, a demon can possess, but it's rare that they possess one person because there's not much they're accomplishing.
That's fair.
And the host said, oh, well, what do you mean? They're like, because what's the point? They're not.
Yeah.
It's like if a demon or demons possesses one person and they're laying in bed for, whether it's a day or two years, what are they getting out of it? But it's what's worse is they can do more damage if they're going around going, hey, you know what? Go ahead, watch that movie. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, go ahead and, you know, gossip about your friends or your family, you know, and do that's they cause more because, you know what I'm saying? Because if one person gets possessed, well, that's not really.
Yeah.
Okay. They're possessing one. They're kind of wasting their time on one individual where they go around to everybody and they spread the lies. They kind of nudge you to, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about, you know, that's when they do their damage. So he said it's really kind of counterproductive for them to possess one person because really they're not really, I mean, they're hurting that one person. That's
I've never
not
really
good.
Thought of it that way, but.
And I thought that makes total sense. That makes, So, I mean, cause I do believe demons and when they influence all day, every day, everybody, you know what I mean? To make bad decisions.
Maybe that's what demons do.
Hey, it's okay. Go to that strip, you know, bar or
it's a demon's holiday.
another couple drinks that won't hurt you, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how they do the mass destruction versus just possessing one person. Like, okay, well, that, you know. So I thought that was an interesting take.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
There are lists, and I'm not obviously going to read all these names, but there are Catholic exorcists. There are Orthodox exorcists.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing, the Orthodox one goes, it's 1621 to 1682. That's interesting. Not going to even try to pronounce the name. But I thought it was interesting that, where is it? Darn it. Pope John Paul II was 1920 to 2005 was an exorcist. So I just don't, I thought, you know, maybe I would know somebody on these lists, but I did not think his name would actually be there.
Oh.
But there's Anglican exorcists, there are Lutheran exorcists, there are Baptist evangelical, excuse me, that's not that hard a word, and Pentecostal exorcists and non-denominational Christian exorcists. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. You know, I just don't, mm-hmm. I don't think of it outside of the Catholic Church. I just really didn't.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, a lot of demonologists, like people that say they're demonologists, I don't know what that entails. Like, and I've heard a lot of them talk about mm-hmm. and on podcasts and stuff. I'm a demonologist, and somebody asked, "What's the difference?" And they say, "Well, they're really not supposed to do exorcisms. They kind of assist, or they kind of work with a priest or a investigator to kind of determine if it's really necessary, you know, but they know about demons and how they work and operate. Yeah. But some of them say, yeah, they can technically do an exorcist be an exorcist. I'm like, oh man, that's something I don't want to even try.
The ones that come up a lot are that Gabriel Amorth that we talked about, that the movie's based on. And there's another Gabriel Amorth that the Pope's Exorcist is based on. So he's one that you hear a lot. He's one of the most famous. And then the other one that you hear a lot about is Father Marin, and he's one of the most famous exorcists.
Father Marin.
Due to his vast experience battling demonic forces. And so there were, like, I saw several videos going into a lot of their encounters and all these things. And it sounds like straight out of Hollywood, you know, some of the things that they have encountered. And of course those things are rare, but if you're an exorcist, you're going to see those things, you know, so it's not going to be,
who feels
rare, rare, right? You know, it is kind of like a Ghostbuster. It's the ultimate Ghostbuster.
I didn't want to say it.
Here's another, sad exorcism attempt. 2010, Christy Bamu. Recent. On Christmas Day 2010, a 15-year-old boy, Christy Bamu, was beaten and drowned in a bathtub in London by his sister and her friend in an attempt to exorcise evil spirits from the boy, according to the BBC. Originally from the Republic of Congo, the pair tortured the boy with knives, sticks, metal bars, a hammer, and a chisel until he begged to die. The pair were convicted of the boy's murder.
Hmm.
I don't think they were qualified to do an exorcism.
How did you come to that conclusion?
Solid
no.
They're just
horrible.
Sister and friend.
That is horrible.
When the Bible that you're using and the cross, the crucifix, like, explode into flame, you're probably doing something wrong. Is that fair?
That was a sad story, Nate. Thanks a lot for bringing this
up.
Sorry.
We depend on you to bring it up.
Good, bad, and ugly, right?
No kidding.
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting article. It's, after performing 6,000 exorcisms, this priest says the devil fears him. Well, I would think so. So this is Mexico City, Mexico. It's back in 2017 from this article. It is Father Francisco Lopez Sedano is an 80-year-old Mexican exorcist. In the past 40 years of service, he has conducted at least 6,000 exorcisms. And he says the devil is afraid of him. Father Lopez told the newspaper Hoy Los Angeles, so the Los Angeles Today, that when the devil speaks to him through possessed people, he responds, "I am nobody, but I come from Christ, your Lord and God, and you leave right now. I command you in the name that you go, that his name you go out." Father Lopez is the national coordinator emeritus of exorcism for the Archdiocese of Mexico, and he belongs to the Order of Missionaries of the Holy Spirit. Now he continues his ministry in the parish of the Holy Cross in Mexico City. Who knows, right now, since this was back in 2017. During the interview, the priest highlighted four things that he learned during his years as an exorcist. First, he emphasized the devil is a person, not a thing. He noted that Jesus confronted the devil many times and spoke to him. When speaking with a demon, one isn't talking with a thing, one is talking with a person. The evil one, he added, wants to separate us from God, to frighten us, to threaten us, to make us tremble. He brings us laziness, fatigue, sleepiness, distrust, desperation, hate, everything negative. Second, Father Lopez noted, the devil enters into persons because they allow him to do so. He can't enter us if we do not open doors, the priest said. Because of this, God prohibits the practice of magic, superstition, witchcraft, sorcery, divination, consulting the dead, dead spirits and astrology and listening to Kiss. Oh, I'm sorry. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Wow.
Oh, I threw that one in there. These are seven.
He's negative zeros now.
I know. I'm really digging to myself deep. Sorry.
I will not tolerate.
I thought that would be funny.
That is blasphemy.
I almost said Beatles, and I thought you'd be like, yeah, right? So these right. Exactly. That's what I think. These are the seven lands of lies and deceit. The stars influence our life is the biggest lie. They are millions of kilometers away. There are bodies formed by metals and gases. How can they influence us? It's the same with magic, which attributes to objects of power that they don't have. To carry a horseshoe because it is going to give me good luck, it's a lie. Another truth that Father Lopez has learned from decades of experience is that possessed exhibits specific behaviors. He said he has observed possessed persons who begin to shout, bark like a dog, scream, or writhe, and who squirm like a snake on the ground. There are 1,000 forms. On one occasion, Father Lopez said a boy around 18 year old, pushed 5 large benches that were so heavy they should have required the strength of 10 people to move. He had a terrible strength. He had to get him between three people to practice the exorcism. Having the presence of the other already explains this. They are able to climb the walls, yes, and fly too. So that's an interesting thing. So he saw that in 6,000 times. Bless you. Sometimes the possessed person hears voices, feels hatred or rejection of God. Before they believed, and now they stamp on the Bible. Other people have a terrible backache, but doctors say that they are perfectly fine. The injuries of Satan are outside the control of clinical medicine. He continued, people who live with permanent diarrhea and nothing makes it go away. People who have eye pain and ophthalmologists find nothing. These are the injuries that science cannot detect. Finally, the priest said, decades of ministry have taught him that the exorcism is a divine mandate. Regarding his appointment as an exorcist some 40 years ago, he affirmed that it was out of necessity after seeing very serious and painful cases. A fellow priest who was involved in it made me see that that fighting the evil one was an obligation. He said to me, you have to enter into this by the command of the Lord. The three mandates are to carry the word of God, heal the sick, cast out demons. All three are invalid in the church.
Mm. That's a lot. I think
it is a lot.
My opinion is the devil should be afraid of all of us,
right?
Yes.
I know there's atheists and there's agnostic; they're not sure what to believe. But if you're a believer, that he should be afraid of all of us. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be ordained.
But
we have power. We are told in the Bible we have power over Lucifer, over the devil.
I think it's people that, even though they still have faith or whatever, they just become weakened for whatever reason, and it gives him his opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He slips in when you're, he's smart. Mm-hmm. That's the thing when, we go to church, we go to service, and, you know, the message sometimes, like, he's not stupid. He knows what your weakness is. You know, maybe it's, he throws you off your game where he capitalizes on what you might be struggling with, you know.
Yes.
And then that's when he gets in, and then, you know, just gotta be prepared, gotta be ready for the attack. It's subtle. He's very subtle.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's the thing about him.
Baby steps.
This goes into an even larger discussion, which I know we won't go into in depth, but spirit or demon possession is an unusual altered state of consciousness and associated behaviors purportedly caused by the control of a human body, spirits, ghosts, demons, or gods. The concept of this kind of possession exists in many cultures and religions, including Buddhism, Christianity, Haitian Vandu, Hinduism, Islam, Wicca, and Southeast Asia, African, and Native American traditions. So it's interesting that each one of, you know, like the exorcist or exorcism is a Catholic based, you know, and then Christian based, but then they also have all kind of different, chieftains and all that kind of stuff or other rites and rituals and that they try to go through some of these other either religions or practices. So I think that's interesting as well, that there is kind of a broader, you know, it's not just a Catholic idea. There are other ideas that they might describe it differently, but
yeah,
a demon's a demon, right?
You know where the most, and I don't think it can be disputed, to be honest with you, but a gathering of the most possessed people, like people that are possessed, and, you know, do you know where that would be?
On this podcast?
Yankee Stadium.
Oh! I didn't know we were going there tonight. Wow. Yeah, I did not know that.
That's that. Those poor people. I feel bad for them.
Dave Domi at this very moment is doing a double fist pump into air like, yes!
And Pete Peterson is cursing.
Exactly, right? I'm glad you said that.
Pete, I love you, but I'm sorry. I mean,
all the Red Sox fans out there are hooting and hollering at the Yankees or booing.
That's right.
Boo.
This was a great topic. I don't know if you guys have any more to add to it. I do not. So,
I do want to say,
yeah, we did. And one thing I did want to say, and if one of you did, then I forget what I say. I always found it interesting that the demon doesn't want its name to be known.
Yes,
remember that. Like,
yeah,
so,
right? They do.
So they challenge the.
That's a good point. Yeah.
The exorcist to get their, you know, so once they have their name revealed, then I guess the exorcist has more power over them. Mm-hmm. So they try to, continually, what's your name? What is your name? Who am I speaking to? And they do everything in their power that not to tell their name. But I always thought that was interesting.
I think it's interesting. I won't go
Harold,
through.
No, it's funny. What?
Your mama.
There's a whole, like, the actual rite of exorcism.
Wait a minute.
Your mama.
Oh, now it's on.
No,
you're talking
it's
about
not
my mama.
My mama. She'll beat the evil out of you.
there's actual, right. With the rite of exorcism, they actually go through certain prayers, and there's a certain way that you go about it, but it's the prayer against Satan and the rebellious angels, and there's a whole thing on that. I won't read it verbatim. Prayer to Saint Michael, the archangel, and then Mother Mary, and then the actual exorcism has a certain layout. And so it's interesting that there's an actual form or formula format, I guess, that you go through. And I think it's interesting, if anybody's interested, go back and look at the actual rite of exorcism. You can look that up.
Right, it would be interesting.
Write that down. Maybe we can do a side job of exorcisms.
Oh, man. I think not.
Did you say write that down?
Write the right formula.
That's why I think it should be called the wrong of exorcism.
We can go be wrong.
Write the right. Hey, well, hold on. Wait, what?
Could write the wrong.
So you want that to be a side hustle? Is what you're saying? We got Mako. What could we? Yeah,
Mako condemns you.
The power of Christ condemns you.
What is your name? We're podcasters, dang it. Everybody, I don't know what that means, but that's exactly what the demons
do not call us to perform your exorcism.
Nope. It's calling us to be a Ghostbuster.
Nope. It's only going to go wrong.
It's going to get worse.
I think we're getting too many side jobs. I think we're getting our plates are getting a little full.
I've already got two jobs. I'm like,
right. You don't need any more on that plate. We can consider that dessert, right?
that one we might not take on. Anyway. But I like your thinking.
The way you're thinking.
Might as well throw it.
Always looking for a side hustle.
Got to keep your options open.
Yeah.
The first bit of pea soup gets on your shirt. You're like, I'm out.
Right. Right.
I'll just throw it back at him.
For fun. What would it be if you were possessed and an exorcist was to feed you a certain food item or drink or whatever? What would it be that you would throw up?
Spit out. Beets.
Beets?
For show.
Oh, gosh. Beets are horrible.
Just like tomatoes. Oh, yeah. I don't like just...
Like raw tomatoes?
Raw tomatoes.
Isn't that interesting? Do you like... But you like tomato soup or marinara?
Yeah. I like funny? Pizza sauce.
I do, too.
I don't have an infatuation with just eating a raw tomato. I can. If they're diced small and they're thrown into a salad, I'll eat them.
Yeah.
But
I like them. Right. They've got to be diced.
Not my thing.
Right. They've got to be really, yeah.
I wouldn't just eat one, right.
Guys will just like eat them like an apple or slice them up a tomato sandwich. And it's, it's just not my thing.
I like
thing.
A tomato sandwich
BLT. I love marinara sauce. I love pizza sauce, ketchup. Yeah, all that. I hate tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. So anyway. Beets is one of like, oof. Mine would be, there's a lot of things, but mushrooms. Oh,
gosh. Oh, you don't like mushrooms?
I love mushrooms.
Hate
mushrooms. You're not a fun guy?
No. That's pretty good. Mushrooms, yeah, that'd be oof. That, and I would say, onions. Do you like onions?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I did not when I was younger, but I love onions now.
Oh.
I don't like them raw, really. I mean, I'll eat them on a salad. That's like your tomatoes.
Now, those have to be diced as well. Yeah.
I like a cooked
McDonald's cheeseburger.
I'll eat them on a hamburger.
I can eat those. I don't scrape them off, but you know, rings or slice, big slices of onion. Oh,
yeah, I know. I like onions. Like, especially if we're at a Mexican restaurant eating salsa, I always dig through the salsa to find the chunks of onion.
Ooh.
I don't mind that. That's not. Yeah, it depends. It's all. It's dependent on the situation.
Yeah, they'd be like, "All right, he's pretty possessed. Get the mushrooms and the onions."
I wouldn't eat onions right out of the garden. That's what Jenna loves them enough that she'd eat them right out of the garden. I'm like, nope.
Yikes. All right. Well, that was fun. I wonder what the creepies. I wonder what they're
gonna think.
What they gonna think? No, I'm saying I wonder what they're gonna what they would be. What their favorite food or drink.
I thought you meant their feelings on the rite of exorcism.
I tell you what, though, on the other spectrum, if you're going to get sick and throw up, chocolate chip cookies and chocolate shake are not too bad. Comes back up about the same it went down.
Yeah,
you enjoy it twice.
Man, you know what I had the other day? I got me a Sonic large M&M's. I don't know what they call them, blast or something. I don't know. And I like it. I let it melt a little bit, you know. And so I ate probably half of it because I took it to one of my cleaning jobs, and then I put it in the refrigerator. Well, then the next day it had melt. You know, still it was in the refrigerator, but it was a little more soupy. There's nothing better than that. And the M&Ms had melted. And then the chocolate chip, there must have been 500 little chocolate chips that, at the bottom. Just
like
ate them.
Little pieces of
So I eat all the ice, right? I pretty much drink the ice cream, and then there's all these little chocolate chips. Well, I'm just scooping them out, eating them, and I start going,
Bill's not happy.
Yeah, I was like, so I had to stop. But man, that was so good. Ooh, gosh darn.
It felt wrong, right?
It was so wrong. It was right.
R-I-T-E. Not that kind of right.
Yeah. So that was good though. I had fun with this topic.
That was a good discussion. Right, I like
exorcism.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good, Sean. Very good choice.
Thank you. I see. Even a blind squirrel gets a nut now and then.
I always say a blind pig finds an ear of corn every once in a while.
There you go. I like yours better. Yeah. I like that even better.
Good. Yeah, I have the creepies. I think they'll enjoy this. So, and I would encourage them. What'd you say? The actual rite.
Yeah, look
it up.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's, I don't know. There's so, this goes so much deeper than one would think.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, we'll stay away from that. We'll just podcast and talk about it.
Darn right.
I mean, we can barely.
It's like the Ouija boards.
Yeah, no doubt.
We'll talk about them until cows come home. But
don't if anybody says, "Hey, I'm Captain Howdy," stay away. Stay away. You know, from The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. That was, Captain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
I'm creeping myself out. Well, Sean.
Yes.
Coming off of this, let me guess, a dark side.
Yes.
Middle-aged dark
side. I kind of gave that away earlier, didn't I?
Yeah.
But it kind of goes without saying, right? So I did what I feel like is the perfect song, goes right with this. It is, and we haven't done one yet, and you're going to be so happy, the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I love
Sympathy for
there
the Devil.
Go.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, isn't that perfect?
Yeah.
I won't do that. Yeah, to start with, but that sounds
just did.
I didn't catch myself. It says, of course, these are famous lyrics, right? Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole a many man's soul and faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name, but what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a general's rank when the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies stank. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. Oh, yeah. What's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Yeah. I watched with glee while your kings and queens fought for 10 decades for the gods they made. I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys when, after all, it was you and me? Please introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste, and I laid traps for troubadours who get killed before they reach Bombay. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. Oh, what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. So, see what it goes. Just as every cop is a criminal and all the sinner saints, as heads is tails, just call me a Lucifer because I'm in need of some restraint. So if you meet me, have some courtesy, have some sympathy and some taste. As all your well-learned polities, or I'll lay your soul to waste. So goes into
woo-hoo.
Get down, woohoo, get down.
Excellent.
Tell me, baby, what's your name? Yeah,
I love
goes
that song.
On and on and on. But yeah,
you're right though. That's
fantastic. Yeah, yeah, it fits perfectly. Just the there is a romanticism to it. There is a glorification, but it also shows like how slippery he's been throughout history, you know, and that's the whole point, is it's a song based on the firsthand telling of the devil, like, look what I've done throughout the years to just continue to, it's possessing the entire culture, right? And humanity.
And the good news is, though, he knows he's beat. He is going to be defeated.
Sucker! Mm-hmm.
But the bad thing is he wants to take as many people down with him as possible before he meets his end. But again, we know who wins. We know how who wins the game. So that's good. That's comforting. Mm-hmm. So, 1968, by the way.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what year that was.
Yeah. 68. Before all of us, right?
Yeah. Even me.
Yeah.
I was -3.
I knew you would like the Stones.
Oh, I love them.
I enjoy the Stones as well.
Should have worn my Rolling Stones hat today.
That's right.
No, that was good, Sean. Thank you for that.
Most welcome.
And I will. And you know what? I will forgive you for that little kiss comment that you.
That was
little jab.
Oh, did you see how he snuck it in there?
Well, you know,
talk about
it was smooth.
It was smooth.
What
all
was
right.
funny is that I was like, son of a if I do it, I get in trouble. I do it. You kind of feeling. I do it.
I'm listening. I'm
like a cartoon character over here.
Boy, I sat up. I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait just a minute over there. So you do forgive me, though, right? For the record, you forgive me. Okay.
I do. Creepies, I do.
So just for that, I will do the second part of the announcement.
How about that?
All right. I'll do it perfectly. Watch this. Follow us on all social media accounts. That's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. You can email us at our Gmail account. That's makopodcast@gmail.com. Two A's. Catch us on our weekly Tuesday Tear videos on our social media accounts. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating review. I like that. Leave a review if the app allows. Share the podcast with friends, family, coworkers, and anyone else you can. Word of mouth means everything. We sell cool looking merch, so go get you some. We also offer show sponsorship opportunities of all different types. Individuals and businesses are always welcome. It's another way for you to support us, and the money goes right back into the show. Please email us or reach out to us for more information.
Oh my goodness, he did it perfect.
Mm-hmm. About he nailed time. It.
Yep. So I am capable. You shut up over there.
I mean, it took you
shut your mouth.
800 episodes. Yeah. Is that what you're saying, Nate? Is that what
like you shut your mouth? What are you going to do about nothing? Not a thing.
Very good. Excellent. I'm going to give you an excellent. I'll admit it.
I'm possessed over here.
Yeah, I would say, are you?
Exactly.
What are you doing,
Sean?
Call
the exorcist.
Be gone, demon. Right.
Power of Christ.
What is your name?
Compels you.
What is your name? coming off of that, I'm going to turn to my main man here, Nate.
I have exorcised these demons. This podcast is clear now.
Nice.
And that's a wrap.
That was excellent.
Man, we all feel lighter. Feel lighter.
I know.
Got a little tingle.
Oh, look there's butterflies flying.
No, grab that's just the fallout.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, man.
Oh, well. No, that was a good one. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. You know what? I hate to say it, but yeah, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 113 and our discussion on the rite of exorcism. Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out.
Keep it creepy.
It's the